This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
We're here in the Riverside Centre studio now with our very special guest today, and it's Matthew Chatfield. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
And when I sent you a message, Matthew, and I said, can you tell me what you'd like to talk about? You gave me a list, a whole list of different things. And
that's right.
Things you're involved in.
Oh, I am a man of many hats, there's no doubt about it.
But I know you best, I think, as Matt out of Matt and Cat.
Yeah, I am that Matt.
How long have you been Matt and Cat?
Well, I'm half of Matt and Cat, I must point out. There is also Cat. Yeah. But we've been doing that since 2005, I think we started.
Is it really?
So it's a long time. Yeah, when we started writing our sort of internet diary of where we were eating out, it was, you know, there was no such thing as Facebook or
no,
Twitter.
No, I remember when you first started.
Oh, yeah, well, I can hardly believe it of you. But
can I ask who Kat is?
She's my partner. So right. We met at work, and you know, now we're together, and we thought, well, we like to eat out. That's what we do.
Right.
And so we thought, well, we could put this online and write about it. And this back in the days when, yeah, the TripAdvisor didn't exist back then. It wasn't even a thing.
You're like reviewers.
Well, yeah, we write about what we eat, and they are reviews, but we're not professionals. We're not.
Okay, and where do you write about it, in a newspaper?
We write in the Isle of Wight County Press every fortnight. We have a column, and we also have an online blog. So we've been writing online at mattandcat.co.uk. And you can go there and see there's about 550 different reviews on there now.
Wow.
So we've been doing that for quite a while. So, I mean, some of them are a little bit long in the tooth, to be fair. We've been doing it since 2005, so some of the reviews are more like historical documents than current affairs. But, you know, we try and keep it up to date.
Well, I like to read reviews before I go anywhere or buy anything. I do. It does help.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Well, we like to go out, but also we think it's important for the Isle of Wight, because people come here on holiday particularly, and they've got a week, they want to have a special night out or whatever. We want to recommend those places that are good. We want people to have a good time, go out, because there are so many wonderful places to eat on the island. There really are.
Do you ever walk round and think, oh, they could just do with a really good Chinese, or this needs an Indian takeaway, or I don't know, Japanese restaurant? Don't you ever think? I mean, I was walking down Union Street the other day, and I thought they could do with a really nice cake, you know, like a tea rooms type.
Yeah, that'd
cake
be good,
shop.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's a few places where you can get a nice cake in Union Street. So the back of Zaber, for example, there's a very nice tea room there.
Are they still? Because that's changed.
A few different people have done it, but it's being run directly by the shop now, I think.
Oh, really?
And they do a very nice cake in there.
I know, that is a lovely cafe, and the garden outside as well is really nice.
It's a great place to sit and get the sun. Yeah. Sort of little secret location behind Zaber. That's good. And there's also one up the top behind the
cafe, isn't it? A little bread shop. A cake shop, tea room, all in one.
Yes, a tea room,
I don't know the name of it. But they do lovely cakes in there.
Yeah. It's at the back of House of Zaber, you know, the big shop, the clothes shop.
I thought this one was more on the high street.
Well, there's one up on the high street as well, behind the pottery painting studio.
And do they do nice cakes?
Yeah, very nice cakes.
Right.
Yeah, I can't remember what that one's called either, but we do occasionally pop in there for a cup of tea.
I know exactly what you mean. It's almost opposite Iceland, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just go down a little street there, and there's a little tiny garden with a little fountain in it and a little nice little room.
Oh, like a courtyard.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So where do we go for cake in Newport?
In Newport for cake?
Key Arts takes a bit of beating, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll tell you where we really like in Newport is One Holyrood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
We know that, we've been in there.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's a really relaxing place to have a, you know, afternoon tea or a light lunch or something.
What about God's Providence? Is that still going for afternoon teas?
Definitely still going, yeah. Yeah, it's been going for I don't know how many hundreds of years, and it hasn't stopped yet. But, they do a good sort of meat and two veg. I sometimes go in there for a good hearty lunch if I'm feeling really hungry at lunchtime.
I used to think it was sort of religious-based.
I don't think so.
It's not, is it?
I don't think so. No. I mean, that's just the name of it. But I don't think so. I think it's just a private business like any other. But, yeah, they certainly do. You know, we've had some good food in there in the past. You can look up online and see what we thought.
Yes.
I think it's quite safe to say that Mo and I could quite happily sit here until 4 o'clock and talk about food, couldn't we?
We could.
Definitely. But we'll have a bit more music, and then we'll talk about Gift to Nature as well. So this is Juliet Roberts. That's Juliet Roberts and Caught in the Middle. Apologies for the little jumps in that track. I don't know what that was all about. They had probably had a gremlin in the works.
Can you stop moving about and jumping on the desk? You'll be all right.
I'm here with Matthew Chatfield and Mo, and we've been talking about Matt and Kat and restaurants and things. But we also want to hear about Gift to Nature, which is your the charity that you're... What's your actual role in that charity?
I'm the Gift to Nature manager. So Gift to Nature is part of the Island 2000 Trust. So the Island 2000 Trust is a charity that does lots of different environmental things on the Isle of Wight. It's still not that many of us, but it does many projects. And one of those projects is Gift to Nature, and I'm in charge of that.
And it's everything to do with countryside, land management, and you do events.
Yep.
And you need donations as well?
We do indeed. We are a charity, so we have to run on the kindness of the people of the island, and they have been very kind, I have to say. People love the countryside, which is great. And so, we need to raise the money to keep our work going. We look after about 30 different countryside sites right across the Isle of Wight, so pretty much wherever you live, you're going to have something that we manage fairly near to you. And of course, they're all free to go to. We'd never want to start charging people to go to the countryside.
No, that's
you can't
true.
When it's, you can raise money for lots of different charities, but mostly it's by selling something that people want.
Mm.
But in our case, we can't charge our users for what they want, because you couldn't possibly, put 10p in the slot to go and walk the dog or something.
That's true.
It's never going to happen, and never
we
should.
We do take it for granted, I suppose,
yeah,
don't
and
we?
It's kind of right that we should. On the island, the countryside and the coast is part of what we are, so we shouldn't start charging for that. But nonetheless, it still does cost money to manage it. You've got to, you've got to pick the litter, you've got to fix the fences, you've got to mow the grass and all that stuff. It's and we've done lots of things to open it up as well, so that more people can use it. So there was a piece of land in Ryde called Pigleg Lane that was owned by the council, still is owned by the council, but it was not really very accessible. You couldn't get on it, and so we raised some money. We got grants from various places, grants from Tesco Bags for Help, grant from Down to the Coast, and grant from the Postcode Lottery. And with those various bits of money, we were able to clear a lot of the scrub away, clear a lot of the old rubbish and litter away, start mowing it, and now people can use it. So people
Excellent.
In Ryde can go for a walk, take the kids and all that stuff, whereas previously they couldn't.
And did you say Pigleg Lane?
Yeah, Pigleg
Lane. Pigleg
Lane.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So that's
got a little map here. I'll see.
Oh yeah, have a look at the map. It's all on our website as well, so you can go to gifttonature.org.uk and look at our map. But for those who aren't online right now, you can find it by going to Quarry Lane and walking south from the allotments. So down there.
Ah, I know what you mean.
So it's sort of between Quarry Road allotments and the Rosemary Lane Vineyard. So it's that little land between there.
Not far from the railway station at St John's Road.
It's sort of, south from there. So, yeah, you could easily walk there from St John's Road. And there's a little, it goes alongside the railway. So we're... there's a little crossing that gets you over from Oakfield to Elmfield on the railway, and it's near there.
And why is it called Pigleg Lane?
Well, there's a story attached to that, because when it was owned by the or when it was managed by the council, it was called Rosemary Lane, which was the name of the road that led to it. But that was confusing, because that's the name of a road, not the name of a place. And there's lots of other people who live in Rosemary Lane, and it's nothing to do with that site. So we changed the name to Swanmore Meadows, because it's a meadow near Swanmore. But we just made that name up, and it's not a particularly exciting name. And when Gift to Nature came to raising the funds to restore it, to let people back on it, we obviously went and talked to local people about it. And they said, why do you call it Swanmore Meadows? Nobody ever calls it that. That's not what we used to call it. And it turned out lots of different families and people had lots of different names for this bit of land. So lots of suggestions came forward. So we had Iggy Piggy Lane, we had what else was it, Swanmore Common, somebody said, and
Piggy Muck Piggy Lane.
I would imagine somebody probably would have said that, because we ended up with an online poll, and so we got to all sorts of waggish suggestions, but we had so many different suggestions. Lots of them involved pig legs, but different combinations of it. So Iggle Piggle Lane we had, and stuff like that. In the end, we put it online on our website for about a month, and people could vote on which was their favourite name, which was the one they thought was right, and Pigleg Lane was the one that won the vote. And so that's what we decided. We'll put that on the signs and we'll call it that.
Fantastic.
That's how the name came about. But even now, you'll get people to say, oh, well, you don't call it that, I'll call it some other thing, and it'll be some other idea that we've never heard of. But we know the railway crossing nearby, apparently that is actually called Pigleg Crossing. So we found that out after we'd given it that name. So at least there's some record of it. We didn't completely dream that up.
It's got an old-fashioned sound to it, Pig Leg Lane, hasn't it? Something from a long time ago, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, it's been open countryside for as long as we can work out. So dating back hundreds, if not thousands of years, it hasn't had anything built on it there. It's been farmland, and people have been able to walk on it from the town. So it has got quite a history to it.
I've never heard of this one either, Dixon's Copse.
Oh, yeah, that's it's a beautiful little piece of woodland, and you'll have seen it, I'm sure, because if you walk or cycle up between Newport and Cowes, and there's a little viaduct that goes across Dodner Creek, and as you go across there on your bike, you can, if you look towards on the west side, on the landward side, you're looking into a lovely woodland, and that is Dixon's Copse.
Oh, No, I've not heard of that one before.
It's and right next to Dixon's Copse is the Mummy's Cave.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is another local place of interest. So
you said on your bike, so is it on a cycle?
Yeah, you can cycle there, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on the cycleway. So quite a few of our sites are on the cycleway, actually. So Merston Station is there, Panmill Meadows.
Merston Station? Ah, No. Is it still standing?
Well, the platform is, but the station itself is long gone. But the platform is there.
Someone said to me the platform is still there, and I look out for it when I'm on the bus. I try and look for it.
Yeah,
you can just about
glimpse it. But it's one of the few island stations where there still is some sign of it. I mean, there are a few, obviously, like Whitwell and places like that, where the station itself is still standing. But the at Merston, you can actually go and stand on the platform, and it's still there.
Oh, I'd love to.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to get there.
Right, we're going to hear from the Undertones, who played at this year's Isle of Wight Festival. I have a word from our sponsors, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the events that Give to Nature have got coming up during the, I was going to say, the rest of the summer. That sounds depressing, doesn't it? But during August, we'll say. Okay, so here's the Undertones and Jimmy Jimmy. Don't you just love it when a track stops in the middle with a natural pause? Well, that was Walk the Moon and a song called Work This Body. And I'm here with Matt and Mo. Matt and Mo.
Oh, the Matt and Mo show.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about Matt and Kat and Gift to Nature, and we talking a little bit about some of the events that you've got coming up, because I know you've got a few events on the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Saturday the 26th of August. The Fairy Festival, that sounds very intriguing.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a secret location. Actually, it's not much of a secret location anymore, because we've already had one event there, but we've been working over this last year to open up Bully's Chalk Pit on Brading Down, which is a beautiful old chalk quarry just at the bottom of Bully's Hill there, so easy to get to from Brading or from up on the down there. And we've cleared away a lot of vegetation there to let light down for the wildlife, which has been good because we've got lots of butterflies and orchids as a result of that. But also now it means we can have events there.
Fantastic.
And so we have been. We had the Wood Fair last month, which was massive success. Loads of people turned up for that, which was lovely. It was really good to see people having a good time there. It did rain a little bit at the end, but that's fine. We could deal with that. And then this month, on the 26th of August, we've got the Fairy Festival, which is our next event in the same location.
Excellent. And it's £5 for adults and £3.50 for children. Under fives go free. And you can take your dog as well, which is always a bonus on the island.
Yeah,
people
like
take the dogs
only. Dog-friendly place.
Friendly dogs only.
We love dogs at Gift to Nature, because lots of dog walkers are our big supporters, because we have so many places where people go to walk their dogs, and many of our most loyal users are dog owners. So we wouldn't have an event there where you couldn't take a dog, or we try not to anyway, because it's the sort of place where you'd want to go out with your kids and the dog. There's a family ticket too, and also at the moment, if you buy your tickets online in advance, you can get 3 for 2. So there's a special offer if you go online onto our website and get them early, or on Facebook. So it's one of those things. We've never done a fairy festival before, and I don't think there's been one on the Isle of Wight before, although maybe someone will put me right there.
No, so where do the fairies come into it then?
Well, I don't want to say there's no such thing as fairies, because that's a terrible thing to say, but it is...
the phone lines are going mad.
Of course there are. There are, and there will be, and if you doubt it,
no
then...
There's no children listening.
If you doubt there are fairies, you should come along on the 26th of August, and you'll find a lot of them there. But it's a sort of an alternative lifestyle festival, really. Mm. People
that's a good way of putting
who
it.
Who have a... Mm. Have a bit of a spiritual aspect to their lives, maybe, or like to think about things in that alternative way, getting together in the beautiful piece of countryside, and you know, I imagine there'll be a little bit of dressing up, maybe a little bit of glitter.
Yes,
you know,
I should imagine. Yeah, lots of little girls dressed as fairies.
Maybe, and boys. You know, we're quite broad-minded here, so it's. I mean, it has been
quite
suggested
gender neutral.
Absolutely. You know, it has been suggested that I should put glitter in my beard, so maybe I will. You never
that
know.
That is a good look, actually. I saw a lot of that at Pride.
And yeah, there was look good. Yeah, there was a lot of. Well, there were some very handsome young men dressed in glitter, which I don't think I could equal their achievements. But I might do a little bit of fairying myself. And we're going to have a wand competition, so people are invited to make a fairy wand and
hang it on our wishing tree.
And there'll be a little prize for the best wand. And yeah, people are encouraged to dress up.
Fantastic.
It'll be a bit of fun.
There's storytelling and face painting.
Yep. So yeah, it's a family idea, but there will be music as well. We'll have a music stage, and we've got food and drink. So there'll be some, you know, you can buy things to eat. There'll be a bar, a beer tent, and you know, it's and stall holders. So there's things to buy, things to do. So it won't all. There'll be some free things. There'll be some you pay for, and obviously the music is all free, and it'll be. Yeah, it'll be our first ever fairy festival. So
it sounds good.
It sounds brilliant.
Excellent. Come along and find out what it is.
Yes.
Okay, we'll just hear from Selena Gomez, and then we'll have a word from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Well, it's 2:47, and we're here in the studio talking about lots of interesting things today to do with the countryside and Gift to Nature, the charity that Matt Chatfield is manager of. And on my way into the studio this afternoon, I happened to pop into your lovely Gift to Nature charity shop, which is a very, how can I put it, very upmarket charity shop.
Oh, right. We'd like to think so.
Whoever has picked out the bits and pieces in there has done a very good job, I think, of collecting some really quirky little ornaments and lovely clothes and plants and things. But you're closed on Sunday and Monday.
That's it.
But open the rest of the week.
Open every other day of the week, just normal shop hours. And yeah, it's a new venture for us. We've never had a thing like this before, because we've got all this new countryside to look after. We've got to find ways to raise money, and people did start offering us donations of things to sell, and we thought, well, maybe we should check out having a shop. And so we've now got a shop in Holyrood Street in Newport, and yeah, it's looking good. We're getting lots of support from people are coming in buying things, which is great. And it's a good way of spreading the message as well, because it's a great place for people to find out about Gift to Nature. It's not a name that people know that much, because up until recently it's been a fairly small organisation. Now we've got a lot more to do, so we need to raise our profile and get people to understand why it's important to support the countryside, and that it won't look after itself. So the shop is an important way of doing that. So it's not just people out in the countryside, but people in the towns as well, you know, because everyone on the island has something to do with well, our beautiful countryside and landscape, where, you know, even if you're just driving through it, you're enjoying looking at it.
Mm, that's true. And do people come to you for advice?
Yes, sometimes they do. So, you know, we're happy to give advice where we can on countryside things. One of the things, you know, another project we're involved with is invasive plants. So we've got a project called Plant Positive, and people often ask us for advice on what to do about, say, Himalayan balsam, or Japanese knotweed and plants like that.
Japanese knotweed seems to be in the news a lot.
Is it
a nightmare?
It's a terrible thing, and it's very difficult to deal with. But
is it?
We're happy to give advice where we can.
What does it look like? Well, it's difficult to say on the radio.
It's ideal radio fodder here, but it's...
what colour is it, really?
Well, it's a green plant, but it grows very quickly. It looks a bit like bamboo, but it's got big round leaves as opposed to pointy ones, but it's got the sort of the stems that grow up very quickly. So Japanese knotweed can grow maybe 2 meters, 6 feet in a year, and then it dies down again and starts again, and it spreads very easily. Himalayan balsam is another one that we've been dealing with. I've just about finished that now for this year, because it only grows in the summer, but it's easy to pull up. You pull it up, get rid of it, and then that's the end of it. But if you leave it there, it can, like knotweed, it can be very bad for native wildlife, and it stops our own wildlife from succeeding, because these other plants, which are not, they're quite attractive plants. That's why gardeners originally planted them back in Victorian days, but they just outcompete everything else and get rid of it.
That's a question I always ask myself. Who decides what's a weed and what isn't a weed?
It's entirely arbitrary. We choose ourselves. You know, we as a species like to garden things, so we get to decide. And there are some people who would say, well, you should just let them get on with it, and maybe you should, but I think our native wildlife deserves a chance as well, so I'd like to try and at least undo some of the harm we've done where we can. But on many of our sites, we don't have any problems like that, pleased to say. So it's only in certain places, but most of our sites are beautiful natural experiences, and we want to keep them that way so people can go out and enjoy the countryside of the Isle of Wight.
Fantastic. And are you still looking for donations for the shop?
Of course we are, yeah. We need more stock, so yeah, absolutely. Anyone who's got anything that they want to donate, we're looking for outdoorsy sort of things, or plants, or gardening stuff, or books on that theme, but we'll take pretty much anything, really. And we've had some very, very good donations of people, of clothes and ornaments and stuff like that.
Excellent.
Which you traditionally might find.
So it's a good shop. So if anybody has got a donation, if they go along to the shop at Holyrood, isn't it? It's not Holly, I don't know why I say Holly. Holyrood Street, which is a lovely street, actually, in Newport.
Yeah,
opposite
just opposite Hurst we are. And just pop in any day from Tuesday to Saturday. We're open. And we'd be happy to take any donations, and we can tell you more about Gift to Nature.
Fantastic. And if people want to get in touch with you, Matt, have you got a website address that you can give
out? Through the website is the easiest way. And there's lots of information about us and our sites on there, so you can find out your nearest site. But you can contact us on gifttonature.org.uk.
Fantastic.
It's all on there. Or we're on Facebook as well.
Oh, and don't forget, the Fairy Festival opens at 11 a.m.
That's right.
Saturday
the 26th.
That's right.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been really interesting.
My
it's been
pleasure.
A pleasure to talk to you. I hope the Fairy Festival goes well and the weather stays fine for that as well. And I no doubt I'll see you in your Gift to Nature shop, because I did enjoy it. I'm one of these people, I have to rush out of a shop sometimes, otherwise I'm going to buy too many things.
Well, I'm going down next week on my way in, so I might see you in there.
Great. Yeah. Thanks very much, Matt. I've really enjoyed talking to you. It's been really interesting.
My pleasure.
Hope you can come in again.
Good luck with everything.
Right, we'll have some more music, and we'll have the news on the hour at 3 o'clock. www.vectusradio.com